Well, if I have one regret tonight, it's the fact that Pastor Roy Thompson's not here to celebrate with us in our 60th year of this ministry. And I don't know. I wonder sometimes if God doesn't let people come to the portholes of heaven and blow away the clouds and say, I want you to look down there and see what I used you to establish. It's still going, and it's still going strong. And whether that is the case or not, I do know that the Lord is here tonight, and I'm very grateful for that blessing. Pastor Thompson in life had many friends, but I don't know that he had a better friend than Larry Clayton in ministry. They, as young men, were called, both of them, by the Lord into the ministry and studied together at the old Akron Baptist Bible Institute that was down in Akron, Ohio. And then when it kind of folded, they transferred their lives and their studies to the Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri, and both graduated there in the 1950s. And of course, Pastor Thompson came here, and Brother Clayton went to the city of Youngstown and planted a church there. And about 3 years or 4 years into that, resigned that ministry after it had been established, and then came to become a member of the Cleveland Baptist Church and as an evangelist sent out of our church. And so for the last, 56 years or so, has been an evangelist sent out of the Cleveland Baptist Church, has literally traveled the globe. And I often say he's probably one of the least attended members of the Cleveland Baptist Church, but he has a reason for doing so, because he's out doing the work of the Lord. But we are sure glad that he's here tonight to preach for us. And everyone has asked him if he's brought his harmonica, and he did. So I'm sure we'll get a little bit of that. I've asked him to share just a few personal reflections and, of course, preach for us. Brother Clayton, you come and share the pulpit here tonight.
Amen. Well, the future, Pastor, is just as bright as the promises of God. Amen. That's a good statement, isn't it? And maybe you ought to write down in your Bible, the future is just as bright as the promises of God. And we thank God for the past, but we have a great future, don't we? Amen? And we thank God for the future as well. Well, I'm going to play my harmonica tonight. Been a lot of requests for the harmonica, but I'm going to play it anyhow. Amen. It's a little instrument, and it's very seldom played in church, although it's probably the most sold instrument in the world. I'll get the guys up there to give me this mic, if you would please, and let me play on this mic instead of my lapel mic. All right. Well, I'm going to talk to you tonight with this harmonica about the blessings of God and the goodness of God. And it goes like this. Standing on the solid rock. That's the song. Thank you. I want to talk to you a little bit about my association with the Cleveland Baptist Church and my wife and family. And by the way, I want to send you regards from our whole family tonight. We have 3 kids, 12 grandkids, and 25 great-grandkids. And actually, all grandkids are great-grandkids, right? They're all great. And we thank the Lord for them. Somebody said, Brother Clayton, how many great grandkids you want? I said, all I can get. That's how many. Bring them on, kids. Amen. And it's got to the place where now we have so many, I can't remember all their names. I don't have dementia. I have demnamesia. It's hard for me to remember names. Anybody else have that problem here tonight? Oh, yeah, right. But I get my own right sometimes. But they send their regards and their love and prayers for the Cleveland Baptist Church. They're all involved in God's work tonight. And we're very, very proud of that. Out of our marriage, my wife and I was married in Wichita, Kansas in 1957. And I said, wilt thou? And she wilted while we were in Bible college. We called Baptist Bible College Baptist Bridal College. And most all of us was there looking for a mate, a boy or a girl, for each one of the boys and each one for the girls. But that's the way it was in those days. You know what I mean? And Roy and I went to Bible college, three Bible colleges together. And we met in 1952 at the Akron Baptist Temple. And right away, we just got together as friends. I don't know if you've ever had a friend like that. It's just automatic. It just seemed like God just brought us together. And we've always been friends. He was my friend for 58 years. My best friend in the ministry for 58 years. And I don't know about you, but all of us that knew him well miss him. Amen. Still to this day, I think about some things that we're faced with in America. And I say to myself, I think I'll call Roy and see what he thinks about it. Isn't that something? Well, it's just automatic. You have a friend like that, a brother in the Lord that you can depend upon. And when I left Youngstown to go back into evangelism full time, even while I was in Youngstown, I was holding revivals and starting churches. But when I went back full time in evangelism, I thought, well, where should we move, you know? And we're holding a revival out here in an open air in Brunswick. There's a guy out there starting a church, and he was starting it in the open air, a beautiful place to have a service. A meadow surrounded by trees. There's a few rabbits and dogs and one snake that came to church, but we had a good time. And Roy came out, I think every night, and he said, Larry, if you're going to leave Youngstown, I'd like for you to come to Cleveland and join our church. And that was a wonderful blessing to me to have an invitation like that, but it wasn't just that. I wanted my kids to get in a soul-winning church where they could hear Roy Thompson preach. I wanted that kind of preaching from my family. And so it was a real joy for us to join this church. And we've been a member of this church for all these years. And we thank God for everything that we have been able to have associated with the Cleveland Baptist Church. And I might say, it's benefited us more than we have benefited it, and a lot more. And you know, a church should really meet our spiritual needs through the Bible, the Word of God, and our kids, all of them still relate to Brother Thompson's preaching, and the church, this church, and all of their friends that were here. And you know, I just have to say thank you to the church, all of you that have maintained this ministry all these years, with your prayers, with your tithes, with your special offerings. And I have to thank our good friend, Pastor Folger, for the great work that he's done here with his church. We have a great crowd tonight. Look around. You can see it's a great crowd. And that's the way it should be, amen, on a Sunday night. And we're so thankful for him and for everything. Pastor asked me to say a few words about some of the things I remember most about the church. I remember, of course, when I was in the old in the old house on Memphis Avenue, where McDonald's is now. And I remember the revival, the first revival of the church in there, and I preached it. And I can recall leading souls to Christ at that little bench of an altar set up in that house and preached from that little old toadstool pulpit that stood there. Good memories. And I have to say it was a good thing when they moved into the theater and I went there for revival meetings. And I'll never forget when Brother Davis joined the church, Vernon Davis. And what Vernon Davis meant to this church cannot be calculated. And it was during our revival that he came. And what a good revival we had there. Souls saved, people joining the church, people getting involved. At one time I came for a revival and Lois and I came with a singer from Kansas. And he was a soloist and he was traveling with us. And you know, all day during the time of that revival, we three went down Memphis Avenue and the streets off of Memphis Avenue and knocked on doors. And I have to say, we knocked on a lot of doors there in 1 week and we never found one prospect who would be, you'd consider a prospect for coming to church. So it was a tough place. But God has done something here in this tough place. Old Dr. Bob Jones used to say, when he preached for me, he said, boy, we're in a tough time, but we've got to be tough to be able to face it. And that's true. And the church has really been a great ministry, even though the difficulties and disappointments have come, this church has stood and it still stands. And I want to say something about that tonight. But I also have to say I can remember some revival services in the Cleveland Baptist Church. I remember one Sunday morning when B.R. Lakin was preaching and holding a revival and he preached on heaven. I'll never forget that service as long as I live. And I'm telling you, he preached our hearts out that day. And what a great movement. Over the old auditorium, it was packed and chairs down and people out in the vestibule and up and down the stairs. And Dr. Bill Lakin started the invitation, and I'm telling you, people were going to the altar. And there was one man in that church, and I can't remember his name now, and some of you can, but one man in the church that has a wife and two pretty good-sized girls in that church. They were saved, and he wasn't. And during that invitation, those girls left the choir, and they came down, and they hugged Daddy and said, Daddy, please get saved today. And they were weeping. We want the whole family to be in heaven together, Daddy. Come and please. And you could hear it over the audience. And Lakin left the pulpit and came down to him and said, sir, you need to get saved this morning. Come on. He said, no. He said, let me tell you, if you don't get saved, God's going to bottle up the tears of these little girls and use them against you in judgment. And Lakin turned around, walked out, and that man took those two little girls and came to the altar and got saved. I'll tell you, you could have heard the shouting and the crying of that church that morning the whole way to Memphis, I believe. God did something. You know, that's what we need today. We need revival from God. Paul said to the Corinthians church, what we need is a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we need demonstrations. We need demonstration in our country. We need demonstration in our churches. We need demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, in our homes. God help us to have that kind of revival. What a good thing I remember. Then I remember all the good fellowship. Oh, you don't forget that. When the church was much smaller, we used to get together, groups of us together in fellowship all night long on Sunday night. I think it was Cleo Boyd that said to me, he said, Brother Clayton, I wish we could go back to the day when we'd gather in our basement and play pool and eat hot dogs and have a big time. Wow. But, you know, things grow and things change. But I tell you what. The gospel of Jesus Christ that joins us together here tonight has never changed. It's the still good old message, and I'm getting ahead of myself here. But we used to have wonderful fellowship. One time, Roy and I and Pops Wojnarowski, some of you remember that guy, we were out making calls. And when it was all over, I said, you know, Roy, there's a Mally's just down the street here. Nobody could eat more ice cream than Roy Thompson, I'm telling you that right now. He said, yeah, and I said, you know, I love a lemon soda. And they've got a lemon soda with lemon ice cream. Now I'm giving them a little advertisement here. Maybe you can go get one this summer. But we went down there and I said, I want the biggest lemon soda. She said, we call it a fishbowl. And boy, it was that big around. And three dips of lemon ice cream and soda and all. I said, that's what I want. Roy said, I'll take one. Pop said, yeah, me too. They brought him out there and Roy ate his right away. And I was kind of slow. And Pops only ate about half of his. Roy said, Pops, aren't you going to eat that? He said, no. He said, give me here. And he ate it. And the girl came around and said, what can I do for you? Roy said, give me another one. Roy ate two and a half. And it was all I could do to get down one. Oh, good times. Isn't it good to have Christian fellowship and Christian fun? Hey, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a fun time of celebration. We're going to have a time, let me tell you something. It's going to be a party. God's going to put on a party for us. And we're going to enjoy all the things that the Bible talks about that we can enjoy. I remember so many things like the legal problems that God gave Roy success in. I remember he had the bedroom telephone number of the governor of the state of Ohio, George Rhodes. And Jim Rhodes. And I told you I'd have trouble with names. And you know, what God did there, not only for Ohio, but through Jim Rhodes over in Indiana. Jim Rhodes called up the governor of Indiana and said, hey, get off the back of those Christians. They're hardworking people. Roy was right in the office. And he said, they're hardworking people. They're taxpayers now. Let them have their schools. And that made a lot of difference with Indiana. And he made a lot of difference in Ohio for freedom of our schools and all that. And I'll tell you what, you can credit that to Roy Thompson. I remember some debates he and I were in. Boy, we get into some problems of arguing on television and radio about some of the problems of Cleveland, Ohio, and the world. And Roy was a master at that. And one time we were down here on television, and Roy was, I don't know if I should tell that now, but I'm going to tell it anyhow. Get mad at me if you want to, I don't care. I'll be going out here in a couple hours. Don't throw rocks at my car, all right? But Roy was debating this homosexual, whether or not a homosexual could be a Christian. And the moderator was there. He's supposed to be neutral in the debate, but he's taking the side of the homosexual. And so Roy was debating them both. You know, two on one, you know. And pretty soon Roy said, let me ask you two guys something. Are you buddies? He said, are you real good friends? Oh, that moderator got so mad. Of course, that gave Roy the win of the debate, I'll tell you for sure. And all the people in the offices and everything, they came out there, and soon it went off the air. They were shouting, good for you, Thompson. You gave it to him. You know, it's always been an exciting thing to look back over and see in the ministry of Roy Thompson, the Cleveland Baptist Church. And I thought I'm ancient, so I'm talking about ancient times. You know what I mean? My wife and I were going down the road the other day, and there's a big sign that says, we buy antiques. I said, Lois, don't look, don't look. Somebody's going to buy me. But it's better to be antique as dead, I guess. I don't know. There's only two things worse than getting dying, right? One of them is getting older. That's worse than dying some ways. Worse than getting old is getting older. The second one is not getting older. Dying. Well, anyhow, I didn't get that one done. But maybe when you tell it, you can tell it better than I did. But I want to look at something tonight, and I could go on and talk forever. I remember living in the dormitory. I got to tell you this one. We went down in a dormitory in Springfield, Missouri, Baptist Bridal College. Roy, Ron Woven, and I, all three married our wives while we were students at Baptist Bible College. And everybody else just about did too, marry them a mate. And we were living in that dormitory, and Roy said, you know, I'll just tell you the truth. He said, living in this dormitory is going to help me preach on hell when I get out of here. But somehow we made it, amen. And God's been good to all of us. Hadn't God been good to us? Has God been good to you or not? Say amen. Wow. All right, I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Now, I'm just going to preach for an hour and a half. It's always hard to preach to a bunch of people that's getting ready to eat. They sit there and look at you like you're a great big fried pork chop. Hard to keep people awake, you know what I mean? Heard about this old boy trying to keep everybody awake in his church and having all kind of trouble doing it. And so he talked to a pastor friend of his and said, you know, my people are going to sleep on me when I preach. And he said, I don't know what to do about it. And the guy said to him, said, well, I have that problem too, but I say something startling to wake them up. Boy, he said, you do? He said, yes. He said, like, for instance, the other night I was preaching and people going to sleep, and I said, the very first kiss I ever got in my life was from the lips of another man's wife. Boy, he said, they all set up. I woke them all up. And I said, it was my mother. Amen. So this preacher said, I think I'll try that. That sounds good. But he was kind of a timid guy and afraid, you know, and insecure. So he got up and he saw them going to sleep, and they normally did, because he kind of preached in a monotone and nobody could understand a thing he said. And he said to the crowd, well, the very first kiss I ever got in my life was from the lips of another man's wife. And boy, the deacons looked at him and it scared him. And the old women were punching one another. They're getting ready for some gossip, you know. And his wife looked at him, and that did scare him. Whew, it scared him so bad. He said, and for the life of me, I can't remember who she was. So I'll try to keep you awake, amen. But I want you to turn to the book of Luke chapter 1, okay? And I'm just going to read 4 verses there. The first 4 verses. You know, oftentimes we read the Bible and we see something like an introduction here that Luke gives and we just skip over it. Boy, he says some stuff here in these first 4 verses. This is what he says. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration. Now, I highlighted that word declaration. Of those things which are most surely believed among us. And I highlighted surely believed. Even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Luke is writing here, and he says he's writing to Theophilus. Now, we really don't know who Theophilus was. I don't know what kind of guy he was. Preacher went to see an old woman, in the maternity ward, just had a baby boy. And the preacher said, "What'd you name him?" She said, "I named him Theophilus." He said, "Theophilus? What kind of a name is that?" She said, "Pastor, that's a Bible name. It's in the Bible." He said, "Why, just a little boy like that with such a name as that?" He said, "Why did you name him Theophilus?" Because she said, "That's Theophilus child I ever saw." But here he's writing and he uses Theophilus, but he's writing to all of us. And he says, "I've got perfect understanding from the very beginning." Now, Luke was a Gentile and a doctor. Paul calls him his beloved physician. And he associated with Paul and traveled with Paul. And Paul at one time said, "Luke is ever with me." He comes from the northern coast of Africa, we believe. And I believe that in Acts chapter 13, where it gives a rundown of those prophets and leaders of the church at Antioch, it says, "Lucius of Cyrene," I believe that's Luke. I believe he came from Cyrene, which was a kind of a, not just a town, but almost a settlement on the northern coast of Africa, kind of between Libya and Egypt, surrounded by the driest desert in the world. But it was an oasis. It was started by Greeks. We think maybe Luke may have been a Greek physician. From there came Simeon, Niger, in Acts chapter 13. He was from that same area as well. And maybe he was in Jerusalem to see Luke whenever he was in the crowd that was following Jesus to the cross. And they made this Simeon or Simon carry the cross of Jesus. Boy, I'd love to preach on that, him carrying the cross. But Luke was quite a person. He may have even been there and saw the crucifixion. I don't know. As a doctor, he looked at that probably different than anybody else would see it. And Luke talks here and he says, "What information I've got is what I had from the beginning." And he said, "And from these people that were eyewitnesses to all of this has told me, and I'm going to write it down." And he says, "I just want you to know that this is a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us." He said, "I want to declare something to you. I want to make a declaration here. I want to say something that's going to establish in your mind what it is that we surely believe among us." And you know, you look at the book of Luke and you find almost all of it is kind of in the second person. But when it kind of comes to the crucifixion, it's more like in the first person. And he is saying what other people have said, and he writes it down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we've got this declaration here before us. Study the book of Luke. He puts a spin on that for the Gentiles. While I was in Youngstown, I taught every Sunday out of the book of Luke and never finished it, because it related to me so well as a Gentile myself. Wow. Luke says, "I just want to declare something to you that surely believed among us." He said, "What it is, I want to make it clear. I want you to know for certainty," in verse 4, "that thou mayest know the certainty of those things I want you to know it's absolutely true. This is not an abstract I'm talking about. He said, I want you to know that this is an absolute. And there's no doubt about it. Oh, I thank God I got a Bible. I don't have to doubt. And some Dr. Drydust in some seminary writing a book that tells me what I believe. No, I look at this book to tell me what I believe. And I'll tell you something. The Cleveland Baptist Church has always declared the Bible as the Word of God. And that's the thing that is surely believed among us. Amen? Say it, amen.
Amen.
The Bible, the Word of God, is surely believed among us. He's declaring the truth here. He said, I just want everyone to know that Jesus is the Son of God. Look at verse 35 in this chapter. I think I'm telling you the right one here. And the angel answered and said unto her, now this is to Mary, when the angel told her about Jesus, who was going to be born of her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That's what Luke is saying here. I'm declaring to you that Jesus Christ was everything he claimed to be and everything the angel said he would be. The Son of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is born of the Virgin, do we not? We believe that he lived among men and lived a perfect life among men. Amen? We believe that he died on a bloody cross outside the walls of the city of Jerusalem. For all of our sins. Amen?
Amen?
We believe that he rose again. And that he lives on high. Amen?
Amen?
And we believe that he's coming back here to get us one of these days. Amen. Hallelujah for that. That's what Paul says. He's declaring those things that are believed among us. That's what the Cleveland Baptist Church has always believed. Pastor Folger has preached that from this pulpit. He said that we're probably the one that attends the church the least of the members. But we attend here. We attend here by our prayers. Lois and I pray for this church all the time. And on the internet. You can get all this on the internet. Now, isn't that wonderful that you can see the Cleveland Baptist Church anywhere in the world now? That's amazing, isn't it? Just punch the buttons, and I don't do very good at punching all them buttons. I'm afraid punching that computer some of these days is going to get upset with me and punch me back. You know what a computer was in my day? It was a yellow tablet and a lead pencil. You had to use this brain thing here. You know the brain thing? I've got a lot to talk about with that, but I'm not going to. You know all about it. But these things that he's declared among us, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he sits today on the right hand of the throne of God. I preached Lloyd Petrick's funeral the other day. You remember the Petricks? Some of you will. Well, Mike Petrick's wife, Lori Graves Petrick, she was a doll of a person, I'm telling you. Lois and I just loved her. They met as a team members, where we had some of our teams together doing SMITE programs in Omaha, Nebraska. Fell in love and they got married. And they've been through some rough times. But God blessed them with children and a ministry. And she got breast cancer. Young woman, too young to die. And she died here some days ago and we had her funeral down in Florida. You know what I preached on? I preached out of the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, what John saw. When he was caught up, God brought him the revelation. John said, I heard behind me a voice, like it's a voice of many waters. And he said, I turned to see the voice, and I saw. And so I went down through the book of Revelation, tell what John saw. Then I said, you know what? Lori is seeing that now. John said, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. Don't you know that when we see him, you know, his face is more intense than the sun has ever been. In fact, that's where the power of the whole future of the whole universe is going to come from. The throne of God. And you know what? John saw him on the throne. Whew. And so did Lori. That's a special name to me because our daughter is named Lori. They're up in Nova Scotia, Jim Mayles and Lori starting a church. You know, I have to say this, and it's a response to the church's declarations and what they've stood for. Out of our family that we brought here to this church all those years ago, out of our family, with me and my two sons, my grandsons and my grandsons-in-law, there are 12 of us that are preachers. Now, this church had an impact on us. Had an impact on our family. And the stand that has been made here by Pastor Folger and Pastor Thompson and now Pastor Pete is a thing that will affect people and affect families and affect kids. Thank God for my kid. My sons often refer to Brother Engel who taught them in Sunday school here. Thank God for the teachers here. Thank God for the consistency of good people in this church that have made a declaration with the life they lived and by the money that they have given and by the support of this church and by the work of God in this church. Thank God today for them because it affects lives all over the world. Can you imagine tonight the mission money that you send out all over this world, what it's doing? I've got to tell you this. We work and support with a preacher in Pakistan. We can't tell you any name or any province or anything about him because sometimes when they hold services, they have to have men there with machine guns to protect them from the terrorists. You know, there's a lot of terrorism in this world. A lot of problems in this world. He works with a group trying to help them and win to Christ that work in the brickyards. And people that own those brickyards work these people for nothing almost. And they just are slaves. And he works them to death. Then he replaces them with another slave. I told Lois today, I said, I'd hate to be that guy in hell, wouldn't you? To do something like that to people. He sent me a picture of a little boy working that. He takes little boys like that and works them like horses in a brickyard, making bricks. Can you imagine the dust and the dirt? And they don't live long inhaling all that brick dust. And this little boy's got an eye that he can't open. He has to work there with one eye because he can't open his right eye. No, it's his left eye. He can't open it. And he said it'd take a little bit of money to get a little operation to open that eye. Boy, I said, oh God in heaven, help me to open that eye. Help this preacher to win him to Christ. You know, you think about the mission work that you're doing around the world. You can't see it tonight. Most of you never read not one letter on the missionary board out there. All of you ought to adopt one of them and pray for them every day and send them little cards and letters and things like, well, if you do that, it'd make a big difference in some people's lives that are 10,000, 20,000 away from here tonight. In the jungles of this world. Do you think about what you're doing for God through your mission work here? What you do through us is unbelievable. I could just take all night and tell you about it. But you know what we do? We declare that Jesus Christ is the answer to the whole wide world. Peter says it this way in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. If you want to make a little study for yourself, read Peter's sermons in the Bible. The first one Pastor preached on this morning, boy, that was a great sermon, I'm telling you. Where he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was Peter, basically his first little sermon. I'll never forget mine, my first sermon. I preached in the Akron Baptist Temple Bible College. They taught us how to make 3 30-minute sermons. So I made 3 30-minute sermons, and I had 10 minutes to preach. So I preached all 3 30-minute sermons in 5 minutes. And everybody did just what you did. They laughed. And I had 5 minutes more, so I just re-preached them. But that was a short sermon Peter preached, but if you take your Bible and read up on Peter's sermons, you'll get a lot of good doctrine. Simon Peter says this, "Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out." Remember the old ink blotter? Some of us old timers do. We were in school. We had a fountain pen that you have to dip in an inkwell. It wasn't a flow-through thing. I never will forget the first ballpoint pen I ever saw. Bigger around than my thumb and about that long, and they guaranteed it for life. And that was the first one that came out. But we had them dip pens, you know. And sometimes you dip it in there and write, and dip it in there and write, and run out of ink all the time, dip it in there and write. And sometimes you dip too much, and it'll make a blot on your paper. Boy, us guys get trouble with blots on our paper. The teacher would twist our ear for us. Remember when the teachers used to twist your ear and pull your hair? Well, they used to be mean, but I'll tell you one thing, they got us kids' attention. And you take a piece of paper about that long, about that wide, blue on one side, white on the other, and on the blue side it was real soft, and you could take that blotter and you could touch right at the edge of that blot of ink, and that blotter would draw that ink up and get it gone. Well, you know, through life, we have a lot of blots, don't we? But the goodness of God and the repentance toward Jesus Christ is like the blotter. It blots out the mistakes. That's why we believe here. We believe it and preach it here because it's true. Let me tell you something. Jesus wants to blot out all of your sins. Boy, I have a lot of preaching to do here. But I'm going to draw it to a conclusion. It's a declaration. That's what we're declaring tonight. What we surely believe among us. What we're trying to make it clear. What we're trying to say. For the preaching of the Word of God. Wow. I just want to say tonight that every sinner, no matter who they are, can have their sins totally covered by the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Paul says that we're covered, our sins are covered by the blood, and he will not impute sin toward us. Wow. I want to give you a little illustration the guy showed me the other day. I just want to show you. I don't have a hanky. You know, nobody carries hankies anymore, do they? I don't know if you remember it back years ago when nobody had any tissue. It had to be hankies. I'm going to use the harmonica tonight. As you and me. And I'm going to put it here under the blood. We're covered by the blood. Jesus died on the cross to cover all of our sins. And you know what? Since we're covered by the blood, God cannot see our sins. They're all washed away. You know the things that you and I have done that's dishonoring to God and wicked and faultful and selfish and prideful and bad decisions in our whole life and everything else? When we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, we're covered. Covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, while we're covered, the Holy Spirit is in there working on us. He's working and working and working on us. Boy, he's been working on me. How about you? Thank God he's working on us. Amen? Now, there's a lot of people that believe that we're saved by our good works. But hey, if we're that way, not covered completely by the blood, every sin of our life is exposed. But Jesus comes along and he covers us with his blood. Wow. You know what he's going to do? Some of these days, when he comes and takes us away, he's going to present us faultless before the throne of Almighty God. Read it in Revelation and see what John saw when he saw the throne. He's going to present us faultless before the throne of God. That's what we declare here. That's what we'll always declare here. Amen? Say it, amen. Because it's true.